Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together for another week. Wonderful to be able to open up God's word, see what he has to say for another day. We're turning back to Matthew chapter 18 for the last time. So if you've got your Bible, open up with me there. But before we read, let me just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would make it true to us. Not in the sense that your word's not true, but in the sense that we need our hearts to receive it as truth, and that that will not happen without your spirit. So we ask that you would give us eyes to see today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 18, and the very well-known, to many of us, parable of the unforgiving servant. Peter came up to him and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" "As many as 7 times." Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Well, there's not much more countercultural in the Christian message than forgiveness. Now, the world talks about forgiveness, but the level and depth of forgiveness, the commitment to forgiveness in the Christian faith, is very counter this world, isn't it? In fact, the more worldly you get, the more often you hear the message that says the opposite: don't forgive. Because if you forgive, you release the power to get what you're owed. And so it is in the kingdom of God, that we are to forgive and to release that power. Peter here raises the question to Jesus, "How often should I forgive my brother?" And it's an understandable question. It's rolled out of a whole bunch of different events that have taken place. Jesus has been teaching on kingdom relationships all the way through this chapter. And so it starts with that small child. Jesus talks about not leading them into sin. And then he talks about the temptations to sin that will come. And then he talks about discipline and what to do when sin comes. And that, of course, raises the question, if we're going to be disciplining people and if we're going to be restoring them, which is the goal of discipline, as we saw last week, if that's going on, how many times do I go and confront a brother? If you think back to the confrontation, you go and confront a brother or sister in their sin. How often do I do that before I pull the plug and say that's enough? I've come to you enough times. You've done this against me too many times. Now be done with it. 7 times, Peter says. Is 7 enough? If we've been sinned against 7 times, Is that enough for us to say, I don't need to forgive you any longer? Jesus replies with that famous response of, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And of course, Jesus isn't saying that once your husband has wronged you 77 times, you don't need to forgive him anymore. No, it's a play on words, isn't it? You say 77. Now, if someone happens to sin against you 77 times, Jesus is not saying at that point you don't need to forgive them anymore. He's using the play on words to say you just keep on forgiving. And then he tells this gorgeous parable to help us grasp why forgiveness is important, but mostly to see how we are to go on forgiving. What is going to fuel an ongoing forgiveness up to 77 times and beyond? And he tells the story of this man. If you have a look at verse 24, who owed 10,000 talents. If you have a look at your footnote, you'll see that a talent is approximately 20 years work for a labor. So if you're a servant and you work for 20 years, you've got one talent. And he owes 10,000 talents. Obviously, it's an astronomical amount of money. It's probably impossible for him to owe that much money. It's so much money. And yet, he owes it. And the master is settling accounts, and, you know, in comes one who owes him five kina, that's Papua New Guinean value, not sure why I was going to say that, who owes him one denarii, and another guy owes him one talent, and then in comes the notorious guy who owes 10,000 talents. You can imagine the bind, can't you? The man falls upon his knees and begs for time, but even that is a preposterous thing to ask. Notice what he says. He says, give me time and I'll pay you everything. Have a look at verse 26. Have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Now, the master knows this man can never pay him everything. If he owes him 10,000 talents and one talent is 20 years' work, unless the man's going to live for like 1,000 years, there's no way he's ever paying the master back. So, in effect, the man might be saying, give me time and I'll pay you back. But in reality, he's saying, give me time and I'll never, ever finish paying you back. And the master has every right to sell him, every right to sell his family, every right to sell everything he owns in order to get his money back off him. But he doesn't. He forgives him, doesn't he? And we know this story well. And then we get this episode afterwards where the servant runs out and doesn't forgive his brother who owes him a small amount of money. So verse 28, he runs out and someone owes him 100 denarii. If you look at your footnote, it's a day's wages. So it's a third of a year. So, I don't know, maybe $40,000 he owes him. It's a significant amount of money. A third of a year of wages, or $20,000, I don't know. Just pick a figure. A third of a year's income. Take however much you earn and cut it in three. He owes that much money. It is a lot of money. This is not five bucks. And he's furious. I need my money. And something inside of me is sympathetic to this man, in the sense that he's been living in the reality of being utterly broke and owing everything. He almost lost his life because he owed everything. And so when he has the opportunity to get some money back, he grabs it. Literally grabs it by the neck and starts choking the man, give me my money now, and chucks him into prison. But we see the problem instantly, don't we? What's the issue? He doesn't understand what he has received. You see, the fault in this man is not primarily that he went out and choked his fellow servant. Obviously, that was dumb, and he should have forgiven him. But what's the root of The root problem in this servant is that he has no appreciation of what he has just received. The master has looked upon him with grace and lavish mercy and love and has set him free from an infinite debt. And he doesn't understand it. So when he goes out, he still holds a grudge upon his fellow servant. And we can so often be like this. This is the heart expression of a person who doesn't forgive someone else. If you don't forgive your brother or sister, Jesus says, it's because you don't understand what you have received from God. You don't truly understand the forgiveness with which you have been lavishly blessed. And this is what Jesus is highlighting to Peter and to you and I. So Peter, think about all of your sins that God has forgiven you. You have an infinite cost against an infinite God, and it is being forgiven you. What is 77 sins by your brother? What is 100 denarii? And so if you take that servant and that 100 denarii is 77 sins, the 77 sins that Jesus mentions in the beginning, how infinite the number of our sins for 10,000 talents. God has not forgiven us 7 times, nor 77 times, but infinite times, because our sin is against an infinite God. And so when we're confronted by our brother, our sister, our husband, our wife, our mother, our father, our children, the random person on the side of the road, the people who have deeply stained and offended and horribly treated us, the thing that is going to enable you to forgive them is a proper grasp upon what God has done for you. So the most important thing you can do is not seek to work forgiveness up in yourself. I've got to make sure I forgive and make it some duty that you must work really hard at. No, what you must do is come back to the treasure of what you've received. And then when someone comes to you for forgiveness, you don't well it up within yourself. You look to the rich inheritance that we've received in Christ. Because that's what kingdom subjects do. That's why Jesus says at the end, so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. He will cast you out of the kingdom. To be a kingdom citizen is to be a forgiving citizen. Because it's what comes naturally out of a heart that's received from Christ. If you're not a forgiving person, it means you haven't been forgiven. See, that's the point of the parable. Forgiven people are forgivers. So let us meditate much upon what we've received in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for this rich teaching of your word. We pray that you would bless it to us and give us hearts that are overwhelmed with what we've received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion. Wonderful to be together. See you back here, same place, same time, tomorrow afternoon.